Welcome to Shir and Targum Parshas Re'eh. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Harriet Feinbaum, in memory of her grandmother, Pauline Scher. Shalom Shalev and Aliyah, she'll see much nachas ruach for the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the family is involved in. We've spoken in the past about how something that the Targumim do sometimes is to reconcile the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, in circumstances where the Psukim and Chumash, if understood literally, would come out against the Halacha, or come out against the way the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Torah, understands the Psukim, so the Targum Onkelos and the Targum Yonos Amruzio will, you know, try to interpret the Psukim in such a way so that we can see how the Psukim are meant to be interpreted in light of the Torah Shebaal Peh. One example that appears in this week's parsha, which we've had twice before in Chumash, is the pasuk Lo Sevasho Gedi B'Chalev Imo, don't cook a kid in its mother's milk, which the Targum Onkelos here, as well as the two places in Chumash where it appears earlier, translates it as Lo Seichlun B'Sar B'Chalov, don't eat meat and milk together, which of course is the way we understand that pasuk according to Torah Shebaal Peh. We don't understand that there's simply a prohibition against cooking a kid in its mother's milk. That's not the whole deal. You know, there's a lot more. There's milchiks, fleishiks, you know, separate drawers, separate, you know, everything. Right? So, lo seichlun b'sar b'chalav, you know, is the way that pasuk is to be interpreted from the Torah Shebaal Peh perspective. There's a whole series of translations of the Targum that followed this pattern, again trying to put together the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, which we find in this week's parsha, the beginning of Perek Tes Zayin. Perek Tes Zayin begins a discussion of the Moadim, the Yom Tovim, the Shlosh Regalim in particular, the three pilgrimage festivals which are observed during the course of the year. And as we'll see, particularly the opening psukim that talk about Pesach, on the surface, the Psukim make statements about Pesach that are not true al pi halacha, that are not true according to halacha. So what do I mean exactly? So let's start with the Psukim and we'll see, you know, where a simple literal interpretation of the Pasuk would actually lead us to a conclusion which is against halacha. So Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Yeah.
Sorry to cram with your beginning here, but would Torah show would that be considered Talmud, or would it go beyond?
Right, so ultimately a lot of Torah Shebaal Peh was written down in the Talmud. You know, the Torah Shebaal Peh is, you know, the oral Torah that when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai, he gave him all of this oral information above and beyond what was written in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah themselves. You know, in the beautiful, famous explanation of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, the Torah Shebiksav are the lecture notes that Moshe Rabbeinu took. So, you know, a person goes to a lecture, they take down notes on some things from the lecture. I mean, occasionally you have one of these people who, every time the professor coughs, you know, they write in their notes, you know, the professor coughed, right? But most people don't do that. Most people, you know, they listen to a lecture and they write down, you know, bullet points or basic ideas or whatnot. So that's what Shamshon Rafael Hirsch explained. The Torah Shebiksav, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, are the bullet points. That's the basic notes from the lecture. But there was so much more that Moshe Rabbeinu received orally that he didn't write down. And some of that ended up in the Gemara. And some of that, you know, the whole corpus of everything besides the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, in many ways, is the Torah Shebaal Peh.
Just as a follow-up, the idea that you build a fence, where, how does that factor in? In other words, how much is the essence, the very essence of Torah Shebaal Peh, in terms of like you mentioned about the lecture and the lecture notes, how much is on point and how much is, goes beyond, you know, building a fence around the Torah, or is that part of the Torah is building a fence around?
Right.
The
Torah? So part of Torah Shebaal Peh is what Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. So just to take an example, right? So the Psukim say many, many times, don't do work on Shabbos. But there are very few examples in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah what that means. In other words, if I really didn't know anything about Judaism, I had to figure out what's prohibited on Shabbos just from reading the Chumash, I would know you're not allowed to plow. I would know you're not allowed to plant. I would know you're not allowed to burn fires. And I wouldn't know much else. There's very little that is spelled out in the Chumash as to how to keep Shabbos. So the whole concept that we have 39 prohibited labors, the 39 malachas, that comes from the Torah Shebaal Peh. That was an oral revelation. Now, beyond that, there's certain things that the rabbi said, you know, we're going to make rabbinic enactments to prevent you from violating the Torah laws of Shabbos. So, for instance, you know, one of the things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos is to pull a branch off a tree, right? So it never says in the Torah, the Chamisha Chumashi Torah, you can't pull a branch off a tree, but it's a Nisa Daraisa, that's a Torah prohibition. That's part of the oral tradition, the oral revelation that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Come the rabbis and they say, well, you know, if you're not allowed to pull a branch off a tree, we won't even allow you to use a tree in any way. You won't be able to climb a tree on Shabbos, because if you climb a tree on Shabbos, you might pull off a branch. Now, climbing the tree on Shabbos is a rabbinic prohibition. It's not a Torah prohibition, right? Breaking the branch is a Torah prohibition, but it's not explicit in the Torah. It's oral Torah. The fact that you can't do malach on Shabbos, that's what it says in the Torah. So those are like three levels of, you know, what's written, what we know from the oral tradition, and then the rabbis made fences, you know, additional prohibitions around the basic prohibitions of Torah itself. So let's take a look at the beginning of Perek Tezayin, where there are a number of psukim that, if read literally, would be against halacha. Shomer es chodesh ha'aviv. You should guard the month which comes in the springtime, Nisan. V'osiso pesach, l'Hashem elokecha. In that month, you should make a carbon pesach to Hashem. Ki b'chodesh ha'aviv hotziacha Hashem elokecha mimitzrayim loyla. Because during the springtime month in Nisan, Hashem your God took you out of Mitzrayim Laila at night. Now that last word, Laila, it's not correct. I mean, read literally. Because the simple pshat in this pasuk seems to say that we left Mitzrayim at night. But that's not actually true. If you go back to the psukim in Shmos and Parshas Bo, it says, "Vayhi be'etzem hayom hazeh, hotzi Hashem es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim." It was in the middle of the day that Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, you know, according to their hosts. In fact, Chazal fill in the Midrashim that after the Makas Becharos happened, and Paro went to Moshe and Aaron and said, "Okay, that's it. You know, you can leave." That was the middle of the night. That was Chatzos. It was midnight. So Moshe and Aaron basically said, "We're not leaving now. We're going to wait till, you know, we don't want to sneak out of Mitzrayim like thieves in the middle of the night." You know, people will say, "Oh, you know, they pulled a fast one down to the wire. They were pulling fast ones." No, we're going to march out of Mitzrayim by broad daylight tomorrow, and you'll see that, you know, no one's going to stop us. We're not going to sneak out of Mitzrayim. We're going to walk proudly out of Mitzrayim. So they left during the daytime. So what's going on over here in the pasuk when it says Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha miMitzrayim Loila, that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim at night? So the Targum of Unculus over here writes, "V'avad loch nisin belelya. Apkoch Hashem Elokech miMitzrayim. Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. V'avad loch nisin belelya, and He performed miracles for you at night." So in other words, that word night is really shorthand for a longer phrase. Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. When did that happen? During the day. And He made miracles for you during the night. Now you may ask the question, why is that significant? I mean, why do we care when He made the miracles for us? Right? You know, He made... What's the reference to the miracles? Presumably Makas Becharos. In other words, the other Makos didn't necessarily happen at night, right? So we can ask the question, why does He say Nisim Belelya, you know, miracles at night? Why not just say, you know, and He made Makas Becharos at night? I mean, the word Nisim doesn't appear in the Pasuk either, right? So why, what are these miracles besides Makas Becharos that are taking place and why the reference to them happening at night? Why is that so important? I think the answer is that according to the Targum Onkelos, the Pasuk is stressing as follows. Night is not just, you know, a 12-hour period when it's dark. Night is symbolic of a period which is difficult and dark in the emotional sense of the term. We were in Mitzrayim, the whole time we were in Mitzrayim, in a sense, it was Laila, it was dark, right? It was a dark period in our history. And Hashem lit up the night of Mitzrayim by making Nisim, by making miracles for us. Not just Makas Bucharos. Makas Bucharos was the biggest miracle that he made for us at night. But even the other miracles that he did, the other Makos, which may have taken place during the daytime hours, but they were at night. In other words, in a broader sense, they were miracles that were illuminating the dark night and the gloominess of Mitzrayim. So that's what the Pasuk is saying. Remember to observe Pesach, because Pesach reminds us of the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and even before he took us out, he was illuminating the darkness of Mitzrayim with all kinds of miracles, right? That's the Targum Onkelos writes, Laila means he made miracles for us at night. It's interesting to note, other Mefarshim are bothered by this question as well. I mean, again, you know, it's a basic question. How can the Pasuk say that we were taken out of Mitzrayim at night? That's not what the Pasuk in Shmos says. So the other Mefarshim try to deal with this in different ways. Rashi writes over here as follows. Falo ba yom yotzu, shenemar mimachas ha-pesach yotzu b'nei Yisrael. The Jewish people went out during the day. Elofi shebalayla nosan lehem paro reshus lotzeis. Shenemar vayikro l'moshe l'aron layla. Says Rashi, since Paro gave permission to the Jewish people to leave at night, so they didn't actually leave at night, but you know, they got the green light, they got the visa to be able to get out of there at night, right? So that's what the Pasuk is referring to. But Hotziach Hashem Elokecha Mitzrayim Laila doesn't mean that he physically took you out, but he gave you permission to go at night, which is another way of reading the Pasuk. But again, it's interesting. You know, sometimes Rashi is very much, you know, into the Targum Onkelos, and he quotes him and he says, yeah, this is how I explain the Pasuk. And here's an example where Rashi basically ignores the Targum Onkelos and gives his own explanation, which he thinks, you know, fits the Pasuk a little bit better. The Yonasan ben Uziel over here writes that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, v'seichlon yosei belelya, and you should eat it at night. Eat what? Eat the Korban Pesach. So it's a very funny way of reading the Pasuk according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha mimitzrayim, full stop. Laila, and at night, eat the Korban Pesach. You know, you have to shtup a lot of words into the Pasuk that aren't really there, right? So those are just two of the other ways to read this phrase, or this word, in the Pasuk, which on the surface just seems to be against, you know, what the Pasuk was saying back in Parshas Bo. But it gets worse from there. I mean, if this was a difficult Pasuk, the next Pasuk is extremely difficult to translate in a way that fits in with the halacha. V'zovachto Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha, you should sacrifice a Korban Pesach to Hashem your God, tzon u'bokar. You should do so from sheep and cattle. So what are you allowed to take for what kind of animal can you take for a Korban Pesach? So you're allowed to take a lamb, you're allowed to take a goat. Sek vosim oseh izim, right? The Pasuk says in Parshas Bo. There's no concept of taking cattle for a Korban Pesach. Right? So what does the word bakar mean over here? Tzon means sheep. Okay, I'm allowed to take a little sheep for the Korban Pesach. But the Korban Pesach is not ba min ha-bakar. I don't use cattle for the Korban Pesach. I don't use a bull or a cow or, you know, anything like that. So this pasuk on the surface is against the halacha. So what's going on over here? So the Targum Onkelos writes as follows. The sikos pischa karam Hashem alokach, you should shecht the Korban Pesach before Hashem your God, min b'nei ono, from sheep, v'nichsas kudshaya min tore, and the Korban Chagiga should be brought from oxen, you know, from cattle. In other words, what's being referred to over here by the Pasuk, says the Targum Onkelos, is actually two karbonos. There were two karbonos that were eaten over the course of Pesach. There was the Korban Pesach, which was eaten at night, and then there was the Korban Chagiga that's also brought, you know, Korban Shlomim, that's brought during the day of the first day of Pesach, right? And that can be brought, that's brought from cattle. So the Pasuk is referring to two different karbonos. Tzon uvakar refers respectively to the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga. We should point out, there's a Korban Chagiga which was brought on Erev Pesach, Chagigos Yudalid, and that Korban Chagiga was actually consumed at the Seder itself. We know that we have certain things that we do at the Seder to mark both the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga, right? The Shnei Tavshilin, the two cooked items that we have on the Seder plate, you know, the shank bone and the egg, are supposed to be reminiscent of the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga, right? The Korban Chagiga was eaten first, and then the Korban Pesach was eaten when you were already full from the Korban Chagiga. It was eaten ala sova. You were already, you know, somewhat satiated when you ate the Korban Pesach. But that's not the Korban Chagiga which is being referred to over here, because our understanding generally is that the obligation to bring that Korban Chagiga is a rabbinic obligation. You know, the Chagiga which is Daraisa is the Chagiga of Tesvav, the Chagiga which is brought the following day. So anyway, the Targum Onkelos understands that Sonu Bakar are referring to two separate karbonos, and this, generally speaking, is the approach of the Mefarshim. Right? Rashi writes, Tzon, v'zavachto Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha Tzon, sh'nemar min hakvasim min o'izim tikachu, u'bakar tizbach l'chagiga. Right? The reference to bakar over here is to the Korban Chagiga. And similarly, the Yonasan ben Uziel writes, V'ksiksun pischa kodom Hashem alakachon beni shimshasa, V'on v'sarei lemachar, you should bring, the following day, you should bring sheep and oxen, b'chran yoma, during the midst of the day, l'chedvas chaga, in order to celebrate the holiday. You know, as the Korban Chagiga of Tesvav. It's interesting to note, the Yonasan ben Uziel is actually in accordance with the Ramban. The Ramban reads the Pasuk a little bit differently than do Rashi and the Targum Onkelos. Rashi and the Targum Onkelos both understand that Son refers to Pesach, Bakar refers to the Korban Chagiga. The Yonasan ben Uziel, as we saw a moment ago, says that Zavach to Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha, full stop. Son uvakar, right, sheep and cattle both refer to the Korban Chagiga, which is brought the following day. That's the way the Ramban reads the you know, the pasuk as well. Just want to point out before going on from this pasuk, the words of the Rashbam over here. The Rashbam writes, "Sonu vakar, chachamim pirshu kitarguma." The chachamim interpret this pasuk in accordance with the targum. The Rashbam was very, very much a literalist, a pashtun. The Rashbam, interestingly, sometimes even explains psukim and chumash in a literal way that totally goes against the Torah Shebaal Peh. Take a famous example. The Rashbam says that when the pasuk talks about gshaitem la'os al yodecha ma'ilu totofos b'neinecha, in pshat, it's not referring to tefillin, it's referring to the idea that we should bind the words of Torah as if they were on our arms and as if they were on our heads. Now, of course, that's not the way the Torah Shebaal Peh understands that pasuk, but the Rashbam is giving us a very, very pshat, very, very literal understanding of the pasuk. Here he comes and says, the Chachamim explained the pasuk like the Targum, again, that it's referring both to the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga. Ki lefi ha-pshat, gam nidreyem v'nidvoseyem b'regolim hoyu mevi'im, kemo shekosu b'pasha shoros ochesev u'pinchos. The simple interpretation, says the Rashbam, also in accordance with Halacha in this case, is that they would come to be Ola Regel, they would come up to the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach, And they would bring, of course, the Karban Pesach, but any other karbanos that they had pledged to bring during the course of the year, they would schlep up to the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach time. In other words, you're going anyway, Pesach. I promised back in Cheshvan that I was going to bring a karban to the Beis HaMikdash for whatever reason. So Pesach is the time, you know, when you make good on that pledge. That's the Tzon Uvakar is referencing, not Pesach, not Korban Chagiga, but rather, you know, the other Nedarim and Nedavos, the other voluntary karbanos that I might have pledged, you know, up until that time. Yeah.
Going back to your learning about the word Lila, the Seder is at night. Should, according to the idea that the Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim during the day, shouldn't we do something during the day?
It's a wonderful, wonderful question. So I think the answer to that question is, again, what the question? You know, if we actually left during the day of the 15th of Nisan, so we should have the Seder lunchtime on the 15th of Nisan.
Okay, yeah.
Truth is, I think if we put it to a vote, most people would probably vote for that, right? I mean, you don't start the Seder until 9 o'clock. You know, you finish the wee hours of the morning. I don't know. I'll start my Seder at 12 noon, you know. Long afternoon Pesach time, you know, it's already the beginning of the spring. Mincha isn't till, you know, 7 o'clock. Why don't we have Seder from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, right? You worry about the kids falling asleep. And the truth is, the kids will stay up. The adults will fall asleep if you make a Seder from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? But, okay, you know, that's why the kids are there, to keep the adults up. Why don't we do that? That would make so much sense. So I think the answer is, the Seder is not a celebration of the fact that we left Mitzrayim. The Seder is a celebration of the emunah that we have, that we will leave Mitzrayim. Now again, we've left Mitzrayim already, right? But in other words, every year we commemorate the emunah that we had, the faith, the belief that we had, that we were going to leave Mitzrayim. And that's why so many of the mitzvahs of the Seder night have to be done by Chatzos. Right? The Afikoman is supposed to be finished by Chatzos. The Ramah says that the Halil and the fourth cup should be drunk by Chatzos. I don't understand. The whole redemption began at Chatzos. That's when the Makas Bukharas took place. Forget about going from 9 and trying to finish by 1. We should start the Seder at 1 o'clock in the morning. Start the Seder at 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay, then you really won't have anybody at the Seder. Right? You know, but we'll be like Shavuos night. You know, we'll go from 1 till 5 o'clock in the morning. Right? The Brisker Rav, by the way, used to say that, you know, the Velt has the minog of staying up Leil Shavuos. So he says, that's a minog. It's brought in the Achronim. But he says, it's a halacha that you're supposed to talk about, you know, Yitzias Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach, ad shechatfenu shena, until you fall asleep. So he says, everybody's makbid to stay up the night of Shavuos, which is a minog. But the idea that you're supposed to stay up the night of Pesach learning in Yonei Pesach, which is a din, maybe it's a din daraisa. So that, nobody, you know, we finish the Seder, and we conk out, maybe at the end of the Seder. Maybe that's called on Shechafenu Shena. But he said, that people are not so makbid about. So why don't we do that? Why don't we make a Seder from 1 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the morning, besides the fact that it's impractical? Right? So the answer is, again, I think it's the same thing. We're not celebrating that we left Mitzrayim. We're celebrating and reenacting the emunah that we had that we will leave Mitzrayim. So davka, we should do the Seder at a time that none of the Geula had yet happened. The Geula was all in potential. Right? The Geula was only going to begin at Chatzos and, you know, continue on, of course, throughout the second part of the night into the morning and the light. But by that time, we don't do a Seder. It's no big kunz to make a Seder when everything is going well. The point is to make a Seder when we have Emunah. You know, everything is still night, but we have Emunah that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to come and he's going to come and redeem us. Can I say again?
On whose word did the Jews leave the tribe? Aro? Petrov gave Moshe a message to get ready to go? What was the actual...
Well, I mean, Paro was ready to let them go at Chatzos. So they got there. So when they actually left, that was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, now it's time to go. You know, so they got both green lights, so to speak. But Paro's green light, you know, was delayed.
Was it early just to say get ready to go during the day?
Is why don't HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the Makas Bukharis in the middle of the night? I think it's symbolic. I mean, again, I don't know. But I think it fits well with the symbolism we were talking about before. Here it is, the middle of the night. Everything seems bleak and dark and hopeless. And Davka then is when the Geula begins to sprout. You know, it's when it gets darkest, you know, that's when the dawn is about to come. I think it's that idea, you know, that's being expressed over here. One more pasuk, which again on the surface is very, very difficult to understand. Pasuk says, pasuk ches, sheishes yomim tochal matzos, uvayom ashvi atzeres l'Hashem elokecha, osasa melocha. You should eat matzah for 6 days. 6 days. You should eat matzah for 7 days. Where's the 6 days coming in from? So here the Yonasan ben Uziel writes as follows. Biyoma kama tikarvun yas umra. On the first day of Chol HaMoed, you bring the karban ha'omer, v'seichlun patire me'alauta atikta, on that first day, the first day of Pesach, before the omer is brought, the matzos are eaten from the old grain, the grain from the last year, the yosham. V'shita yomen de'ishtairu, but for the 6 subsequent days of Pesach, in other words, after the karban ha'omer is brought, Tahon mirashim lemecha patir me'alauta chadata. Then you're allowed to eat matzos from the new grain. In other words, the omer is matir the chadash. It allows the new grain to be used. So the way to read the pasuk, says the Yonasan ben Uziel, is sheishes yomim tochal matzos min hachadash. The 6 last days of Pesach, you're allowed to eat matzah from the new grain. Right? That's how to understand that pasuk in a way which accords with the halacha. Just to finish off this pasuk, the pasuk says, "V'yom Ashvi Atzeres LaShem Elokecha." The 7th day of Pesach is an Atzeres. What's an Atzeres mean? So Rashi brings 2 interpretations. Number 1, Atzur Atzmecha Min Amalacha. Atzeres means a cessation, stopping work. In other words, Shvi Shel Pesach is a Yom Tov, whereas the days that preceded it are Chol HaMoed. Right, malacha is mutter to an extent on Chol HaMoed. Dover Acher, a different interpretation of Atzeres, Knufyo, it's a gathering, Shel Maichel U'Mishta, of people coming together to eat and drink. You know, the word Atzeres means to come together. It's that second interpretation of Atzeres, which is embraced by the Targumim. They both translate the word Atzeres as Kinish, nothing to do with Knishes, right? It means coming together, Kinish, like Kenosh, bring together. And the Yonasan ben Uziel writes over here, Tahon knishin betushbachta, betushbacha, kodem Hashem alo kachon. Gather together in praise before Hashem. That's what, you know, the last Yom Tov of Pesach is all about. It's about coming together, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's implicit in the word Atzeres. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos HaSitra, Lefik.